Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. We are finally back talking Indiana football as the Hoosiers wrapped up their 2018 class last Wednesday, February 7th. On the February signing period today, we are going to welcome in Matt Weaver of Pugs.com to talk about the recruiting class, along with TJ Inman, who will be along with us shortly. We're going to go over that class, what we're looking forward to in spring practice, and just an overall general feel of how the program is doing right now in mid-February. Right now, we're going to welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Yeah, looking forward to discussing what on paper is certainly one of IU's best recruiting classes. And I think on paper it is the best that we've seen here in recent history. And I say that due to the overall level of athleticism that they've added, mainly from the state of Florida. In my opinion, if some of these mid to high three-star guys that are from Florida were playing in the Midwest, I happen to think that they'd probably be four-star recruits. But I think in Florida, you get lost a little bit in the shuffle sometimes. But we have seen kids from Florida and from the Tampa area come to Indiana and make immediate impacts. And I think Indiana has a number of those guys in this recruiting class that I'm anxious to talk to Matt about them, see what he has to say. He's certainly seen these guys more than I have and talked to them and has talked to the coaches. And so I'm interested to see what he has to say about that. But it's obviously a class that I think IU is going to rely a lot on relatively early, and I think that it's going to be a class that reaps immediate dividends.
Yeah, and with that, we're going to bring in Matt Weaver from Pugs. Matt, I know you're under the weather, so thank you for taking the time, and maybe this is your Jordan Blue Game podcast tonight, but thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And so, Matt, my first question is, what did you think of having the two signing days and how that worked out for IU?
Well, I mean, I think it worked out great because they were able to nail down, the majority of the class, 23 of the 26 guys in December. You didn't have the issue, at least it didn't seem to be on the scale of in the past issue of other schools trying to poach your guys. I think there was a few that they tried to do that with, but it wasn't near to the extreme that you've seen in the past. And then it allowed the coaches to kind of really, there were three guys that they really wanted in this, last week, and they got all three. And not only were they able to focus on those three guys, but they're able to turn their attention to 2019, a little bit early and give more attention to that class so they can get more of a head start on that class. Because in the past, you basically spent January babysitting and doing everything you can to keep your class together. And this year, that changed it with the two signing periods. I think it's great for schools like Indiana. Some of the bigger schools may not like it as much because it takes away their chance to take away guys at the last minute. But I thought it worked out well this year for Indiana.
And you just mentioned in the opening that on paper, this might be the best class that IU has seen in a while. Now, that 2013 class with Antonio Allen and Darius Latham and David Kenny and those guys were, I think, higher ranked. But we probably won't know how this class will play out until you know, a couple years down the road, we saw Antonio Allen flame out. David Kenny never played a snap. Darius Latham, while he's still in the NFL, never really blossomed in Bloomington as well. You know, what overall, what how do you think this the talent in this class ranks compared to, you know, recent classes from basically the start of Kevin Wilson's tenure on?
I would probably put it up there. I would say the 2013 class on paper, obviously now we know how it turned out, and it turned out horribly because, you know, like you said, all those guys, and not just those guys. I mean, you had like Chris Smith, the linebacker, Noel Padmore. I mean, there was a bunch of guys in that class that just everybody was pretty excited about, including me, and they just didn't work out. So we won't know for a few years, like you said, but I would say on paper, the only class I would say to me that seems better would be that 13 class. Now, hopefully this class, you know, pans out a lot, you know, more successfully than that one did. It's funny because the class before that, the 2012 class, which I think was Sudfeld and Spriggs and Feeney and those guys, it wasn't real highly rated, and that was a great class. They had a bunch of guys from that class that contributed and helped Indiana get the bowl game. So you just never know. It just, I mean, there's some luck involved with it, but, you know, the best thing you can do, obviously, is try to get the most talented players you can, bring them in. Hopefully they got the right mindset, you know, as far as their work ethic and their love for the game. And I'm trying to coach them up, but I think they've got a good group of guys in that sense in this class.
Yeah, Matt, I'm interested to hear your take on kind of my theory that if some of these mid to high three-star guys that are from Florida, which Indiana has quite a bit of in this class, do you think if they were playing in the Midwest, that they would probably stand out a little bit more, get a little bit more attention, and possibly even be kind of four-star guys that would put this class, even on paper, at a higher level? I happen to think that their ability to produce, especially early, is even better than that 2013 class was, just because these guys have played at such a high level of high school football that, you know, they're going to be ready to step in, as we've seen recently from quite a few guys that have made that move from the Tampa area to Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the rankings are – they're great. I think the ranking guys do a good job, but there is somewhat of a, you know, where you have – you're going to have so many three-stars, so many four-stars. I mean, just the way it is. If Jonathan King is playing at Ben Davis, he's a four-star guy. If James Miller is playing at Carmel, he's a four-star player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, if Michael Penix is playing at, you know, name a school up here, I think he was, might have been four-star by some people, but he's a solid four-star across the board. I mean, they, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, I can remember after IU signed Dominic Booth, Kevin Wilson told me, you know, I go down to Florida and find three or four guys like him in every county. I mean, you know, Dominic Booth was a four-star guy in Indiana. So it just kind of shows you how the talent level is just so loaded down there, and they've done such a great job. But, you know, I think one thing that's great about, you mentioned some early impact guys, you know, some of the guys they brought in that have enrolled early, Jacoby Hewitt. I mean, to me, he's a real sleeper to play early. You know, I think he's a guy, he's got some size to him. He's athletic, he's fast. I think Jacoby Hewitt's a guy that can play early. Obviously, Ronnie Walker's a guy that I think is going to play early. James Head has got a ton of talent. I think they're going to put him at the weak side DN, which is a little bit crowded with Niles Sykes and Alan Stallings, but they don't have anybody like him. There's not too many 6'5", 240, 50-pound guys on their roster at DN that can move like he can. So it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. You know, guys like that, I think they got – obviously, you know, Nick Linder is going to play right away. But as far as the signees, they got some guys I think that could really help out and get on the field soon. I mean, I think at linebacker, those guys are going to have a great chance. I mean, James Miller has a great chance to step in and be the guy, at least in the mix, from day one, a middle linebacker. I mean, he is – he comes with bad intentions when he tackles guys. I mean, he's a physical, violent guy, and he can really play. And, you know, Jonathan King, who I mentioned earlier, he's going to be a strong side DN. That's where they kind of need somebody. I think he's a guy, you know, that it'd be nice if you could have got him in mid-year, but I think he's got enough talent. He's already up to about 255. No reason why he can't be, you know, 265, 270 around the start of the season after summer working out. So it's a really good class. And I heard you before I came on mention the athleticism, PJ, and you're spot on. This class is really loaded with athletes, guys who can run long, not smaller guys, they're long guys. You know, Devin Matthews, Jamar Johnson, I mentioned Jacoby Hewitt, guys who got length but also have that athleticism, which, you know, Indiana struggled with in the past. They usually got athletic guys, but they're smaller, or the bigger guys they get aren't as fast, and they've got both of those in this class. So they've done a really good job, the staff has.
Yeah, Jalen Williams is another guy that I know you weren't going through a list of mentioning everybody, but Jalen Williams, another guy that I think will probably play pretty early. I don't know if you, you know, agree with that, but I happen to think he's got talent that he could end up starting at a position that has, you know, quite a few talented players already, but I think he can be pretty special.
Yeah, and he might be the most dynamic guy in this class. I mean, he is just, if you watch his highlights, he can easily play receiver. I mean, he's so dynamic with the ball in his hands. But, you know, obviously, when you get a talent like that at corner, which is a hard position to recruit to at any school, but especially Indiana, you know, you put him out there because that's the kind of guy you can put on an island. And, you know, I mean, he's, you know, we saw how good Rashard Fant has been for Indiana. I think this guy comes in more advanced than Rashard does. You know, he's a little bit bigger. He's still got to get bigger, but, I mean, athletically, I think he's got more to him. And I agree with you. It would not be shocking to me that a few games in the season, if he's not starting, he's definitely playing a lot of snaps at corner for IU.
Another area where, you know, IU's a little young going forward, are they going to add, you know, looking at both safety and quarterback, are they looking to add a graduate transfer there?
Yeah, at safety they had a guy in this past weekend, JT. I guess it's, I don't know if it's Ivy or Ibe from Rice. He's got some, there's some other interest. I mean, he visited Iowa State last weekend, obviously Indiana this past weekend, and then I think he's going to South Carolina in early March. So there's some competition. It sounded like he had a great trip. It went really well. They're looking to plug him in basically right next to Jonathan Crawford at the safety spot. He's played a similar type defense. I think Rice has played a lot of like 4-2-5. So he's played a similar scheme. He really is versatile enough that you could probably play him at all three safety spots, the two traditional ones and then the Husky. But, you know, I think they like him next to that other safety spot next to Jonathan. And then I think quarterback, I mean, you know, there's been the rumors with Tommy Stevens and all that stuff. We'll see what happens, but I think you'll see them try to add somebody. One, for biggest reason to me, you got three guys. If you want to run an offense for your quarterbacks running with the ball, if somebody goes down, I mean, we saw what happened with Maryland last year. They were in big trouble. And, you know, if you have an offense where a guy's running around and he takes one hit, I mean, that's all it takes. And now all of a sudden you're really thin. And then on top of that, the inexperience level. I mean, you know, Peyton Ramsey showed some flashes last year, but this is a really inexperienced group. If you can bring in a guy, and I know, like I said, let's just hypothetically speak and say it's Thomas Stevens. He hasn't played a ton, but he's played at a high level. He almost won that job over Trace McSorley. You know, if it's somebody like that who's played, you know, as a junior or senior, obviously it's a grad transfer, that's what they'll be. You know, I think you got to try to do it, you know, I mean, for a year or two, because it could really bridge the gap and not have to maybe throw Michael Penix into the fire right away, or maybe throw Nick Tronti out there, or you know, if Peyton Ramsey's not ready to go, or if he's not, you know, he shows he's not the guy. So I think that's what you'll see them try to do. But safety and quarterback, as far as the grad transfer, seem to be the priority.
Yeah, I'll mention position, but also one player specifically. I'm very interested in Stevie Scott. A linebacker, I think, is still a big concern, not from a talent level at this point, but from a experience level now. I mean, you've got Cam Jones, and then the guys you mentioned, James Miller, as well as, and the third linebacker is escaping my, Aaron Casey.
Aaron Casey, and Mike McFadden, too.
Yes. Yeah, Mike McFadden. So you've got four guys coming in. So, you know, they really have reloaded at a talent, you know, position. I think that they, you know, for the future, that could be, obviously there's a lot of work for them to do, but, you know, that could be a duo every bit what TJ Scales and Covington were, potentially not quite the star power there, but, you know, from a depth perspective, they've added quite a bit. So does that mean that Stevie Scott, the guy that, you know, they're still torn on linebacker versus running back, does that kind of push him a little bit towards running back as we head into spring ball? Or do you think that maybe doesn't matter at all, and that they're just going to see where he fits best and line him up and not consider overall team need at this time?
Well, I think you probably I think you put him out there and see what maybe you think he feels best. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, one thing you would like that would be nice with him is it gives you two big backs and him and Morgan Ellison that could really pound on teams. But if he is, if you feel like he's an all conference or a you know, like a guy that's got a defense where guys go down, injuries happen. I mean, we saw last year when not that Tigray or Chris Covington got hurt, but when they had to come out of the game for a few snaps here and there, the play fell off. So. And I know Allen has preached, we got to get better depth on defense. We got to get better depth. So at the end of the game, we're not worn out. If he helps you do that, then I could see him still playing defense. It'll be interesting. I think if they didn't get James Miller, he was a for sure linebacker. I still would probably lean towards that position, just because some of the things I've heard. But it wouldn't shock me if he's also a running back, because like I said, it gives you another big back. And then you got kind of the slasher types of Ronnie Walker and Nicole Guest. But him and Morgan Ellison late in games could be a real handful for teams. If you're wearing them down, you know, you get the O-line going. It could be a lot to handle, and that's what you're looking for. I mean, you know, get up on a team, and then the fourth quarter, pound the heck out of them with your two big backs.
Yeah, that's a really interesting position. If Scott does not line up there, I think it would show we've seen the injury problems that linebacker has. It happens with every team. You've got to have a number of quality guys there, which is why Scott made sense at running back to me. Obviously, I agree with you that if they think he's a special guy at linebacker, then that's where he plays. But having those two big bruisers, I think, would be potential real weapon for this offense. But
I think something else that could play into it. I think something else we can play into it, TJ, is how you start off recruiting in 2019. I'm hearing really good things with IU and Samson James. That's going to be tough to get him, but they're in great shape.
Yeah.
If you would pull a Samson James here in the spring, I'm not saying you're not going to dictate everything off of that, but you don't want to have too many guys at running back because, you can only play one or two. I mean, you don't really play one at a time, and obviously you rotate him in, but, you don't want to have Stevie Scott getting the ball seven or eight times if he could be out there playing linebacker for 40 or 50 snaps. We'll see what happens, and you got to do what's best for the team this year, and not so much worry about what happens with your 2019 class. But that could play a part into it, because if you're able to land a Samson and Chris, I'm sure Dave Ballew, the new strength coach, is very, very close to Samson James in that Avon program, and IU put themselves in great shape. Now, like I said, Notre Dame's offered, Ohio State's offered, Michigan. He's a big time national recruit, so it's going to take a lot of work to get him. But they are really in really, really good shape there.
Yeah, and that would be a huge addition. The final guy that I wanted to ask about for 2018 is a player that I saw a lot. I know a lot of people in Indianapolis saw a lot, Reese Taylor. I totally understand why he would have a preference of playing defensive back because he likely would not have a future in the NFL as a quarterback where he sees himself developing for the next level as a defensive back. How, in your opinion, how much of a role do you think he'll have on offense? And then from a 2018 perspective, IU has quite a few guys in that defensive backfield. What kind of role do you think he could have this year and beyond as a cornerback? Just your prediction for him, a really guy that we saw do special things at Ben Davis as he goes to IU.
Well, I said all year after watching him a number of times, there's no doubt that I think Reese could play cornerback in the Big Ten and play it pretty well. But his preference is, and I think he said that the coaches, his preference is defense. I think even if he's at corner, which I expect him to be, there will be a package on the offense for him as a quarterback. Now, what will be interesting is if for some reason they strike out, let's say they don't add a grad transfer quarterback, do you contemplate using him more as maybe your fourth string or kind of your emergency guy? If you have, if one guy goes down, maybe you put him over there full time. I don't know. I haven't heard that, but that may be something you have to think about because, like I said, three quarterbacks, you're just in a rough spot if one guy goes down. So, but I think Reese has everything it takes at corner. I know he practiced there during the season at Ben Davis. He would take reps at corner. He's done it at camps. The athleticism is there until he gets out there and you see it because backpedaling and flipping your hips and running with receivers is a whole new thing. But he's got a high football IQ. He's obviously a tremendous athlete. I think he can do it. The thing with Reese is if it didn't work out at corner, there's no doubt he could be a slot receiver. I mean, he could do all kinds of things with him where he could still be a valuable weapon for the program. But, you know, initially I expect him to be a corner. And I think he's a guy that, you know, he may not be a starter early on, but I think he's a guy. He's just I don't count Reese Taylor out. He's so competitive. I mean, yeah. You know, he had great talent with him, but what he did this year, I mean, to me, it was the best season I've ever seen in the 10 years I've been doing this job from a high school player. And that competitiveness is going to serve him well. That the staff loves him. So, I mean, even though he hasn't played the position, it won't shock me if he's in the two deep or, you know, maybe getting some snaps here and there next season or the season after.
Matt, looking at 2018 from a non-recruiting standpoint, how important is it for IU to get off to a fast start and get back to a bowl game? You talked, you know, Samson James, you said he's sitting very well with IU, but how many other dominoes could fall IU's way if Indiana could get back to six wins?
Well, it'd be huge, and I think you'll see, you know, I'm not sure what Samson's timetable is, but I mean, you could see him, you know, another guy they're in great shape with is Bo Robbins at Carmel. DN, who's, he's really a terrific player. I mean, you know, even when Brett Berry was there, Brett was a good defensive player. Bo was the best player on the field. I mean, he's a fantastic player. But if you get these guys and then you get off to, you know, you don't get off to a great start, then you're going to be fighting to claw and to hold on to them. And, you know, this staff has shown what they can do. I mean, let's be honest, last season was disappointing. There's no two ways to put it. And they still put together a good recruiting class. So if you get off to a fast start, get some real momentum going, be 4-1, 5-1, something like that. It would be really fun to see what they can do on the recruiting trail. They've already shown that they're good recruiters, but did put some success behind them. You know, you could go from this is a top, I think, 40, 45 class to you're talking top 30, which, you know, I don't know that Indiana, other than 2013, has ever done that, finished that high in the national ranking. So, to me, it's huge. I mean, there's no doubt about it, you know, and there's all kinds of factors for that, but I think it's the schedule definitely lines up way better this year than it did this past season. No doubt about it. You still got to play the same teams, but the way they line up on the schedule, I mean, you're not starting out with the number one team in the country in the first week, and so there's a chance to get some momentum going. You have some young guys on defense, so there's a chance to get some confidence with those guys, get them in the mix without being, you know, playing, you know, heavyweights. So yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, you know, recruiting is about relationships. At the end of the day, guys want to win. They want to go to bowl games, and they want to play in big games and all that kind of stuff. So that's the next step for Indiana.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us. Rest up, get better, and spring ball's right around the corner. Starts March 3rd.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Matt.
All right. All right, that was Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. You can read all of his recruiting stuff over there as well. And he's awesome to talk to. If you could find somebody who knows more IU football than Matt Weaver, his name is probably Mark Deal. Anyway, TJ, just to put a bow on this on this class, spring ball is coming up March 3rd. IU has four early enrollees. You have Michael Penix in, Ronnie Walker is in, James Head is in, and Jacoby Hewitt. The importance of these guys being in for spring practice is huge. It's you get six months of weight training with the new staff, with Coach Ballou and Dr. Ray, and then you have 15 practices in the spring to work the coaches, the offense, the defense, all those things. What's a couple things you're looking forward to in practice here?
Well, I think from an incoming recruit perspective, there's, for instance, Michael Penix. If he was not an early enrollee, I don't think anyone on our staff would be even mentioning him as a potential starting candidate. I personally don't think he would have a chance unless, you know, Tronti and Ramsey both injured or just totally regressed or didn't progress at all during the offseason. But with him coming in early, you know, I think that he has at least a chance to develop, get stronger, learn the offense, and have the coaches build a trust in him that he can carry the load as the starting quarterback as a true freshman. James Head, a guy that at a crowded position probably wouldn't have a whole lot of a chance to get significant snaps. Him getting in there, I think really, as Matt said, gives him a chance to, I don't know if he'll beat out Sykes and Stallings, but I think he'll at least have a real good chance to get significant snaps due to him being in. So critical for those guys, and Hewitt gives him a chance to work with the quarterbacks and for the quarterbacks to build a trust in him and for him to, you know, better understand the offense, become a better blocker. So that's really important. From a strictly spring football perspective, there's so many things that are going to be interesting to watch for. You know, I'm really interested to see the just a lot of new faces on defense, guys that are either stepping into bigger roles or guys that, you know, we haven't really seen have an opportunity to step up and play defense. This is really going to be a huge test for Tom Allen and Mark Hagan and that defensive staff, because while they are certainly not starting over, that would be, I know that some people are going to be saying that IU's defense is starting over, placing quite a bit, you know, some really good players that did a lot for Indiana football, but the defense still does have a lot of quality guys coming back and players that I'm interested in seeing are guys like Brian Fitzgerald, Juwan Burgess, Marcelino Ball coming back from an injury. Very interested to see who steps up at linebacker, because that is a position that's wide open. And I feel like, you know, some of the, as I said to Matt, there could be two or three freshmen that are in that too deep. And so I'm interested to see which of the returning guys steps up at spring ball and kind of stakes a claim to a starting position or stakes a claim to a rotation spot. It's really important for those guys with the incoming freshmen to, you know, step up now, because some real talent's on the way. And if you don't seize this opportunity in spring ball, you could get left in the dust when they get here in the fall. I'm very interested to see what happens with that second corner position. I feel like Indiana has returning talent that has proven itself for kind of one of those spots, whether it's Brown or Riggins. For me, Raheem Lane is probably the most talented returner as far as defensive backs go. And we mentioned some of the talent coming in on defensive back. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see who looks good at that position and then who looks good as that kind of second safety next to Crawford. So I think there's more intrigue at that position. And then obviously the big one that everybody's going to be looking at is quarterback Tronti. A lot of positive things have been said about him, and we'll really get to see what he can do for the first time. Ramsey, obviously, I don't think he was himself from a health perspective towards the end of last season, and that's if he can't move real well, it just really limits what he can do as a player. So we'll get to see a healthy Ramsey out there. And then Penix, you know, very productive at a very high level of high school football. How does that translate to spring football as a freshman in the Big Ten? I don't know. That's going to be a big position. I don't think that battle is going to be decided in the spring. But I think that the early stages of it will kind of determine what the narrative is heading into the fall. And then, you know, we'll know whether or not I guess we'll kind of know who is the clubhouse leader from our perspective anyway, heading into the fall. So there's a whole lot of very interesting things that are going to be going on. But quarterback is the kind of the big headliner, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is going to be a tremendously fun spring, at least for us to cover.
Yeah.
There's a lot of position battles that are in positions in need, are very important
mm-hmm.
positions, quarterback, safety, linebacker, offensive line, and then you have Charles Campbell, a kicker, coming in to replace Griffin Oaks in fall camp. But for me, spring practice is, let's get everybody healthy. Let's see what this offense looks like with a quarterback, a more mobile quarterback that fits Mike DeBoer's system better. I don't know if we'll see Nick Westbrook participate in contact drills, since he tore up his knee in August. We'll see. I don't expect him to play in the spring game or things like that unless he's totally 100% healthy. But who knows? I don't think his was a structural issue. I think it was a muscular issue. I would like to see him back, but again, you know what Donovan Hale is. So you could take a look at some of these young guys because you're going to need depth at that wide receiver position. Fry Fogel, WAP, Jacoby Hewitt, Justin Berry, a guy who was a talented walk-on who could see some time there. And then, that finding that other safety position, whether it be, Khalil Bryant, who we apologize left off the safety list there, but he's kind of been buried on the depth chart a little bit as well. But now with Dutra and Tony Fields gone, this is his spring to try and shine. So a lot of great things coming this spring, and I'm excited to go watch it. And I think IU fans should be excited as well. The spring game is April 14th at Memorial Stadium at noon. TJ, thanks for joining us on this mid-February Monday evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, this class is one that I think should have people excited. There's a whole lot of talent coming in, a lot of exciting players to watch, some guys that, in some years we would have spent quite a bit of time talking about, we didn't even get to. It's not that they won't have a chance to contribute. It's that they are just going to be behind some guys because there's already quite a bit of talent at their positions, or that they were just under, like I said, under most years, they would have been players that we would have been spending quite a bit of time talking about, but this year in this class, they were kind of pushed down in terms of what we're talking about. That's a good sign. It doesn't mean that those guys we didn't mention can't have immediate impacts and can't have really good careers. It's just on paper, this class is filled with guys that are mid to high 3 stars or even low 4 stars. And just look at the offer list that they chose IU over other schools, and it's certainly enough to get you excited.
Yeah, it definitely is. And if you're in Bloomington on Valentine's Day for the basketball game, Indiana football is having their meet and greet for the 2018 class. Alan and the coaches go over each position. It's a really fun event. There's food, some IU football swag, too, at the weight room. And it's really a nice event. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to make it down for that, but we should have some people there. And it's really a fun event to go to. You can follow us on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle, HoosierHuddle.com. Remember, if you're doing your shopping on Amazon, click one of our ads. We get a kickback percentage from Amazon at no cost to the shopper. That helps us. stay in business and do the best job that we could do covering this team. Anyway, thanks, guys, for listening. And we'll catch you sooner rather than later.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.